podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is the Anfield Wrap on City Talk. Neil Atkinson, Joel Richards, Gareth Roberts and Andy Heaton brought the big guns out, got Joel out for this one. Feels as though we all need cheering up in some way, Joel, so the pressure's on you.
Oh, well, I can't promise you anything, but I'll try my best to lighten the mood somehow.
Lighten the mood somehow. I mean, it's become that sort of run. Gareth, there's blips and then there's lulls and then there's deep, deep depressions. I'd say we've shifted from a blip to a lull. The lull could be shifting towards a deep, deep depression.
Definitely. I mean, you're going back to what now for a really convincing performance, November-ish, really. I know we had the half at Middlesbrough, but yeah, it feels like sort of a really bad version of Groundhog Day at the moment. Like, you're seeing the same pattern of match unfolding, regardless of personnel, regardless of opposition, and. Unfortunately, I think we're going to see very much the same again tomorrow at Anfield, because I don't expect Wolves to do a lot different. So it would be a bit mad if they came out, and were all open. I imagine they're going to take half from what they've seen from Southampton and Swansea and set up in a similar way.
And Plymouth.
And Plymouth as well, mate, yeah.
Any positives from the Southampton game for you, Andy Heaton?
I don't think they were as bad as they were against Swansea, if that can be taken as a positive.
They can, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't think they were anywhere near as bad. Had they won the game, I'm not trying to dress it up, they weren't good enough, but had Liverpool come through that game 2-0, you know, there's no really great argument there. But no, they are in this malaise, and the longer it tends to go on, the longer you feel it, and the harder it'll be to shake it off. And it's that all too familiar feeling and it's happened maybe 4 or 5 times. It's worse when you start well and we're playing well, and then you go into this period because you know the capable are better.
Yep.
And it's easy to just pin it on Mane not being there. I mean, that is a contributory factor, but then you can't really feel sorry for yourself on the plane, like they're feeling sorry for themselves at the minute a little bit.
Joel Richards, Liverpool are out of the League Cup, so are Spurs. They're 1 point behind Spurs, and they've both got easy home ties in the FA Cup. Spurs go into theirs absolutely bouncing. The actual reality of the situation is that the only thing that separates these two sides at the moment is 1 point. Spurs have even had the ignominy of going down to the Europa League from a Champions League position, though they have still got the Europa League that they can therefore conceivably win. And yet, as I say, Spurs absolutely bouncing, Liverpool going, oh, woe is us.
Exactly, and it just goes to show how much a month can change a football season, especially if your side has only won one game in the whole month, which unfortunately has happened to us, whereas Tottenham, they go into tomorrow's FA Cup tie off the back of a decent draw at Man City. Arguably, they could have perhaps maybe gone on and won that later on in the game, you don't know, but they are in really good form at the minute, whereas with us, we're struggling to get any momentum together, we're struggling to get any luck maybe perhaps, or just any rhythm to our game. And a lot of players at the moment are playing out of form, unfortunately, so it's just all fell at the worst possible time for us.
Did you change it, Joel?
I don't know what more we should do to change, to be honest, because I think with the players that we've got, now I know we're probably going to go on to it, like Klopp saying that it's unlikely that we're going to sign anyone, and to be honest, I sort of agree with him. I was banging it before Christmas saying, you know, I don't think there's anyone that realistically could improve this squad in the short term. So in terms of that, the formation and whatever, I don't really know how much we can change. Would you put Sturridge and Origi in as a diamond and go diamond formation tomorrow? Maybe, perhaps, because it's Wolves. But at the moment, I think whatever we change, it's not really going to matter, really.
It's hard, isn't it? I mean, I think that, you know, even watching it the other night, Gareth, Liverpool weren't great, but I felt second half, it felt as though until about 75, I was thinking it's coming here. It's coming to 1-1. We don't deserve 1-1 across the two legs at that point. There was a couple of chances that Southampton missed first half, plus the whole of the first leg. But I was thinking it's coming. And you can clearly see, you know, he then changes it. He takes Chan off and he brings Origi on, and suddenly we lose the sort of the fact that we're on top, the control that we've got, and that's the gamble that you take. And this is the fact of being a fussy manager and all that sort of stuff. But this is sort of what I'm driving at, really, which is that the sentence around, do you change it? You know, do you change it before a game? Do you change it during a game? Do you change it, or do you say, lads, this is the way we play, this is who we are, this is what we're about, and we just keep committing to this? Because I think that one of the problems has been that commitment to that, it begins to wane during games a little bit because it's not working, because maybe they aren't quite getting a bit of luck, because Sturridge doesn't score from 6 yards.
Yeah.
I think that's a hard thing to get back in a football team when you've seen them have that commitment. You know, think about Arsenal first game of the season, the commitment they had for what they are about.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's only human, isn't it? I mean, you know, Klopp can do whatever he say whatever, do whatever, choose whoever. But ultimately, it's the lads who go out on the pitch and what their mindset is. And I think you're right. There was a phase in that second half against Southampton where it did feel like it was coming, and it was good as well. It was, you know, there was little signs there of the football that, you know, they're capable of. They were patient, they were moving it side to side, they were creating opportunities, whereas too often before that, it felt like they're just slinging in across for the sake of it, almost through frustration. And it did feel like it was coming, and I think those missed chances, particularly the Sturridge one, to be honest, knocked the stuff a little bit out of us. It was kind of, well, we stayed in, we've done the patient thing, we've created a great chance, and we still haven't put it away. And, you know, and the keeper, very fortunate to keep the one out from Emre Can after initially being a mistake, and then he scrambles it off the line. I think all of that, you know, it's such a knife-edge football, isn't it? I mean, it we quite easily could have gone through. And we'd be having a much more positive conversation now. We'd be talking about playing Manchester United in the final of the League Cup and blah, 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 blah. But as it is, it's what happened on in midweek is bolted onto what happened with Swansea. And then even that, you know, like, if you just sort of take a huge step back and say, actually, Liverpool have done all right over the course of the season. The points total is decent
for the point of the season.
For the point where but everything's in the context of what Chelsea are doing, and that's the depressing thing. You look at how far they are ahead, and you think, we've had a pretty good season here, and yet they're up there. And it does sort of kind of feel like, how do we ever get there? Do you know what I mean? Well, what, you know, it does feel, you said before, woe is us. It does feel like that. And hopefully the players don't feel too like that. But as I said, the human, it must be hard to continually lift yourself and go again. But that's what they've got to do. And, you know, Wolves will fancy it. Wolves will have a full end again. They'll be backed by, you know, a load of their fans. They did well at Stoke. I just watched the highlights of that before walking down, and, you know, they did well. They're not doing great in the league. I think they're 18th in the Championship. But they'll fancy this. They'll want to scalp a Liverpool. They'll want to say they beat Jurgen Klopp, and it won't be easy.
Yeah. I keep repeating myself here, but I think it's all our Liverpool start. Again, I just get the feeling that the last couple of games, Swansea and against Southampton, if they bag in the first 20, half an hour.
But they've not all season, Andy, looked like they're going to start fast.
No, they don't. No, they haven't. But you get a bit of swagger off that. Goals in, and they don't even have to be big games, certain times, certain instance in some games,
yeah,
can then impact 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. And we haven't looked comfortable, Gareth, we haven't looked comfortable really since late November. I mean, United at Old Trafford, I think we were unlucky not to get the victory there. But that aside, we've not really looked assured. And I know it's a gamble and 99% of it's done on the training pitch, but it's all about the substitutes. That's two games in a row there where he's made a sub late on and it's not paid off. It's actually negatively impacted how Liverpool are doing. But saying that, you know, as you said, in the grand context of everything, we're not doing too bad. And I actually think we'll be all right tomorrow. I'm up until I walked in 5 minutes ago, I had a bit of a misery on, but you know what? Nah, we'll be all right.
What's depressing a little bit, I think, from certainly from a fan's perspective, is it feels like he's tried quite a few things. It feels like he's used quite a few players in different ways. You know what I mean? So you're almost looking at it and think, well, I don't know what the big change he makes tomorrow that suddenly sparks a difference. Do you know what I mean?
Certainly when he's going to make a fair few changes anyway, Joel. I mean, we'll come on to talk about Wolves in a second, but before then, this idea of when Gareth's there mentioning that he's given a few lads a chance, I mentioned before Sturridge is missing, how things look a little different. And, you know, Sturridge, when we talk about lads finding it hard, woe is us, it being it affecting players, you know, at the minute Sturridge, it looks, not least because he doesn't look as quick as, you know, you could see the other night that where he couldn't cut loose on that sprint or didn't want to or whatever the situation was, but he worked very, very hard the other night. He was constantly willing, constantly available, constantly trying to get on the ball, but nothing came off for him, nothing worked for him, and it was, you know, it was like a dark night of the soul for him, really. You got the impression when he was lying down in front of the cop after that miss, you could see how much it meant to him on the one hand, but you could see that it just isn't happening, and it's not happening for Origi either, and that's killing Liverpool at the minute.
It is, and I actually feel sorry for Sturridge to a certain extent, because he has, like you said, he has actually had a few chances over the past month. He's played in a couple of FA Cup games. In fact, going on to Sturridge and Origi, that Plymouth side was the perfect one for them to get a couple of goals each, or one to get a couple of goals and the other to look threatening. But unfortunately, it hasn't paid off for them. The first leg at Southampton, Sturridge all night toiled hardly had any service, and then he resorted to popping long shots in the second half as we were chasing the game. Same happens the other night. He has a few chances, and I think personally he is desperate to try and bag a goal. He's desperate to try and run that extra inch to try and work hard, but unfortunately it's not coming off for him. And it is getting to the point where a lot of fans are starting to slag him off now, and it's getting, and it could get quite poisonous.
But one of the next parts of that as well is Joel, you know, that if there's maybe something when we are talking about changing or something to revert to with an eye on Chelsea and, you know, Mane coming back and all that sort of stuff, it's the idea that he's in a duel with Firmino for his place. They can both be on the pitch at the same time, but, you know, it looks like Liverpool are going to pretty much stick with something that looks a bit like this 4-3-3. Only one like can play through the middle. Daniel Sturridge is one to play through the middle, but I think at the moment, if everyone was fit, and we were talking about the Chelsea game, say, not necessarily the FA Cup, we'd all be picking Firmino through the middle. We wouldn't be picking Sturridge.
Yeah, of course. And like when we were at our best between October and November, that side pretty much picked itself every week. That front three of Mane, Coutinho, Firmino was a dream to watch. Like, I'm already counting down the days till that front three is back together again. Like, the first game, they're all back together again, Leeds and Lallana. But, and that's where, unfortunately for Sturridge, he is fighting a losing battle when it comes to him and Firmino.
And the next one on that is Origi, Andy. You know, I think that in many ways, the fact that Sturridge is toiling is actually taking a bit of the spotlight away from Origi, because say what you want about Daniel Sturridge, he gets on the ball and he looks like an absolutely proper natural footballer, whereas there's bits and pieces with Origi at times at the minute where it just, to say that the game looks hard for him is an understatement. He's really, really finding it difficult just to have a decent 30 seconds, let alone anything else in the game.
Well, you don't notice him. You literally don't notice him. One thing you say about Sturridge is that he won't hide. He doesn't hide.
He wants the ball.
Yeah, and he wants the ball, and he'll keep going and going. I mean, you hit the nail on the head a minute ago when you could see, yeah, he looked like he had the world of the weight on his shoulders. And he knows. He's not one of these who just, despite his demeanour, he'll know that he should have bagged two the other day. No, Origi, you don't even know. And you know what? I feel sorry for him because he's a young lad. And you can see what gifts he's got. And it must be frustrating for him. But he hasn't got that experience now to handle it. And it's just an empty shirt at the minute.
And with Origi there, just going back onto that, Andy. When he did have his run, he got five in a row. There was even a couple of games there at times when he was scoring. He drifted in and out of the game, he wasn't adding quite a lot to it.
But the excuse was that he was bagging.
Oh yeah, that's the excuse, and to be fair, as long as he scored,
it's the best excuse.
Yeah, as long as he's scoring, you're not bothered. But now when you put it into context with what's happened since, he hasn't had a goal since Middlesbrough away, he hasn't looked sharp, he hasn't, when he has been given the chance up front, you know, the ball hasn't been sticking to him, especially at Man United. And again, the form with him at the minute, it just isn't helping, and how he gets out of it, you know, you can maybe give his age a factor, and you can say, well, time's on his side, he'll go through it and he'll bounce back. Hopefully he does, but it is a concern at the moment.
There's go right the way back, Gareth, to the summer, and you look at the way in which Liverpool played in pre-season, what they worked on in pre-season, what the manager worked on, the approach and the speed with which he commits to the front three that he's committed to. He talks loads and loads about playing in rhythm. All of that sort of stuff's what he does. It's what he believes in. And it's difficult, I think, you know, when Sturridge and Origi do come in. And I think I say that there's a Sturridge, there's a couple of extra issues around where his fitness is and how free he feels in his movement when he's got to stretch his legs. But putting that to one side, these lads, bar one performance against Spurs together, when they played together in the 4-4-2 Diamonds in the League Cup earlier in the season, they haven't sort of had the opportunity to display that sort of rhythm football, to use what the manager works on. You know, they haven't had that intense pre-season, that development of the understanding with one another and with their other teammates when they come in through the early part of the season, because Liverpool did stick with what was a winning formula at that time.
Yeah, it's hard for Sturridge to step in. And, you know, we did a free podcast this week just on really what has now become the Sturridge question, if you like, because it's, you're paying him an awful lot of money to be a squad player. The money he's on is a first team regular, a starter, and this season he hasn't been that for a variety of reasons. But when he's coming in, I mean, the other night, you're back to the thing where you're wondering, is he almost trying too hard now? I mean, yeah, when he's picking the ball up in his own half near the Liverpool box, what are you doing there? Like, I don't want to see you there, Daniel Sturridge. I want to see you in their box, putting it in the net, because that's what I know you're good at. And it's almost that, I wonder whether, like, there's a thing between him and Klopp now where Klopp wants him to play a certain way. He's got that in his head and he's trying to please the manager, but it's not actually his game. And it's sort of, you know, they're stuck between two stools there almost, and it's not good for Liverpool.
This is the Anfield Rap on Radio City Talk. After the break, we're talking to Melissa Reddy, who's been at the press conference. That was Genesis Land of Confusion. This is the Anfield Rap. Carl Atkinson, Andy Heaton, Gareth Roberts, and Joel Richards with you until 7:30. But we've got Melissa Reddy joining us now, who's been at Jurgen Klopp's press conference today, and she's going to tell us both what the manager had to say and what sort of mood he was in. Should we do his mood first, Melissa? He can't be the happiest manager that there's ever been in the world. He's only got one win in January, and that was away at Plymouth.
Yeah, interestingly, I think he's looked a lot more positive than the fan base has felt over the last few weeks. And I think it is in keeping with Jurgen Klopp's character and personality that when everyone else is down, he sort of, you know, is perked up to hopefully spread that throughout. And he was the same after the game as well in midweek. So I think for him, it's just a sense of Liverpool are doing everything right except having that decisive 10% in the final third, and he feels that that will eventually come. It's only natural that, you know, with the chances they're creating, that they will eventually score. And I think that's the basis they're working on. Continue believing and what you're doing, because you're doing the right things. You're just not getting the reward for it right now, but it will come. Obviously, as well, he has referenced things he's not been happy with. He picked up on the defensive organization. That wasn't a problem against Southampton, per se. There he spoke about, again, clearing your mind and looking, finding the right spaces to operate in. He spoke about Daniel Sturridge, obviously the subject of attention, as always seems to be the case with the England international. But he said that for him, he thought Sturridge had a good game on Wednesday, was involved from the first minute to the last. And apart from not finishing, he said he was quite pleased with Daniel. And he said, you know, he is human. He did miss his chances, but in another game, that's Sturridge on the score sheet twice. So it was quite interesting for him. He seemed upbeat on most of the elements. And I think one point he was keen to stress is when we look at the results in January in terms of from a media perspective and as a fan base, you look at everything as a whole. So you look at it and you think one win, three defeats, six scored, eight conceded. But you're not looking at the nuances in the games and the differing approaches they faced, opposition challenges, all these kind of things. And he said that's something he has to do, and the signs are positive while the results haven't been.
Melissa, I managed to catch the whole of the press conference myself before, and to be honest, I was quite impressed with the fact that he did come into it defiant in a positive mood, and it'd be quite easy for him to be facing the media and being rather negative and being short with them. But he took everything that came his way, and to be fair to him, you know, like you said, he's making the right noises. He's saying that we are doing everything we can. But one point that I note, well, I mentioned before, is the fact that he referenced the season as a whole to being like buying a new house and building it. The fact that at times, you know, in the summer, everything's going well, you know, the parts are coming, the team are playing well, but then in the winter, bad weather comes in, you know, you have a few setbacks, it gets delayed, and to be honest, he is, at the moment, dealing with that struggle. So, in your opinion, do you feel that is the case?
Yeah, I think that analogy, the house, was quite an intelligent one from Jurgen saying, I think he feels that from the outside perspective, people want Liverpool to rip up what has gotten them the fantastic start of the season and then do everything in reverse, or everything that's the antithesis of what got them that brilliant start in the first place, which is, you know, being clever in the transfer market, finding players that fitted the system. And now people are like, go and buy in January. Go and find a short-term solution. You need somebody in Sadio Mane's absence. And I think the analogy with the house was saying, you know, while you're midway through building, which obviously he is at the moment, and Liverpool are midway through the season, you don't just stop building that house and move on and start building something else. You continue, even with all the difficulties, you find a way to finish what you're doing, because you started building the project the way you did because you believed in it. So you have to continue believing in it because that's how you have a steady foundation. You can't just keep hopping to the next best thing or the next short fix. And I think that's pretty much, you know, when you said he came in positive, he came in positive because for him, he inherently believes in what they're working towards. The players inherently believe it too. So if you get the feeling from him that he's starting to doubt, then I think that breeds throughout the club and you can't have that happening.
No, of course not. And I can totally relate to the house point because my mum and dad are going through similar at the moment, but that's a different issue. I won't go into that too much, but I'm sure Gareth's got a point on.
I mean, I just thought, Mel, you know, he's got a dilemma on his hands for me now, Klopp, because Wolves are a tougher team, a tougher prospect, obviously, than Plymouth. So that doesn't seem to allow you to make the wholesale changes that he has done in the past. We've got Chelsea next week. And you would say that sort of any outside hopes of a title challenge swing on what happens in that game as well. So, you know, what kind of vibes and what kind of insight did you get into what team he might put out tomorrow?
Well, he has said that Liverpool picked up a few knocks on Wednesday. Lallana had a cut that needed stitches. And so, based on how the players react in the next few training sessions, he'll decide. But a key point he made was that there won't be 10 changes. So he's not going to look to shuffle and just play the kids. He said it's all about time management and thinking which players, you know, can get it. 60 minutes here, 70, who can last a full 90 and then play again next week without having any ill effects. So it's basically a management in terms of getting input from the medical team, obviously looking how the players are performing in training, seeing how they're feeling. But I suspect he'll look to go strong, not as strong as it was on Wednesday, maybe. Given that he said, you know, he has to keep an eye on next week, he has to give players a rest and not just go full throttle. But also, you know, we're speaking about what needs to happen on Tuesday and we've spoken about the situation Liverpool find themselves in. It's important that they win just to reverse the slide. The longer it carries on,
yep.
he can't look at Wolves and discount it as a game, because then it just increases the slide. It increases this build of negativity from outside.
It'd also be nice, Mel, for him not to have an FA Cup replay.
Yeah.
Genuinely, because every FA Cup game he's ever had has gone to a replay. And it's only three, but on the other hand, it means that the week before, I think we play Spurs, but the week between Hull and Spurs, we'd have to deal with going to Wolves. So in a purely practical sense, it'd be nice to be a result in the football match, because it means that we're not then talking about a midweek game before the run into Spurs and he can do full prep with the players. Anyway, we've got to leave you to it. Can I have a very quick prediction for tomorrow?
Going to go 2-0 Liverpool.
Despite all the odds, Mel, I've just told you it's always been a draw. But anyway, if you want to go with the outside chance, which is a home win, that's all the best to you. Thank you very much to Mel. Back in a second here on Radio City Talk. This is the Anfield Wrap. Joined by Richard Hobbs from Wolves Fancast to talk to me now about how Wolves are going to go and get themselves a draw at Anfield. But we'll come on to that in a minute. We'll talk first about the season so far. And we always end up saying it's a strange league, the Championship, at the moment. Wolves find themselves only 11 points behind Derby, who lie in 7th. And simultaneously, they're only 7 points off Burton, who lie in 22nd, Richard. So, I mean, do you feel as though you're in a league position that you deserve to be in this season? Or have you lacked a little bit of luck since Lambert's been in charge?
I think it's one of those where we had sort of such a big upheaval in the summer with new takeover. In hindsight, it was always going to be a difficult one for us to push up the league. And as you said, it's such a tight league. We're, 11 points off the edge of the playoffs and still teetering on the edge of the relegation zone. Over the course of the season, I think this is where we probably are. Under Lambert, we have kicked on a bit and we seem to have a bit more structure. I don't see us hitting top six, but if we could get between 8th and 12th, I think most fans would be fairly satisfied.
Would that would that feel like a jumping off point coming into the new season? You know, is that sort of, has this become one of those seasons that can be referred to as transitional? You've had the shift in management, you've gone through that process. Do you think that this is one of those where, you know, if that's the way in which it ends up going, you shrug your shoulders and you say, right, we've got a good manager in Lambert. He's now had a lot of time to work with these players. He knows what they're about. We move forward all together with him.
Yeah, I think we've got to. I mean, we got rid of Kenny Jackett 8 days before the season started.
And then you got Zenger in, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that was never going to be a long-term manager. I don't think we expect him to go quite as soon. But, you know, I think a lot of fans will sort of just be appreciative that even though we've got decent financial backing now, it's going to take a bit of time. And if we have to have a season in mid-table mediocrity, I think before, you know, we can make a decent promotion push, I don't think fans will be too displeased about that, in all fairness.
So is the feeling towards the Fosun Group one, broadly speaking, of warmth, or is it a wait and see arrangement? What's the general feel?
I think it's still got a bit of wait and see. They seem to be quietly quite driven. They're not. It's not like with Aston Villa and Tony G, where he's sort of always on Twitter or anything like that. As a sort of a set of owners, they seem to be quite quiet and letting, you know, the club get along with things. We have seemed to have sort of struck up a link with, you know, super agent Jorge Mendes, which I think a lot of fans are slightly unsure of.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, there's a track history of, you know, players being moved on quickly, and we'll talk about some sort of key players for Wolves at the moment. So with Mendes having sort of his influence over such a wide number of players, and his ongoing relationship with the club, yeah, we might get some pretty decent players in, but there's also feels like there is a sort of quite a strong conflict of interest, because he won't have the club's Wolves' best interest at heart. It'll be what deal could he get for his players. So, yeah, it's a difficult one, but the owners seem to sort of be happy to back whoever's in charge, whether it was Wenger or Lambert, and yeah, so I think most fans are sort of fairly satisfied with the owners at the moment.
The results recently have been, again, a little... It's the inconsistencies. I mean, you weren't helped at the weekend. You had the goalkeeper sent off against Norwich.
Yeah.
That means he's not going to be available to play against Liverpool. Who deputises for Akemi?
Well, I mean, that's sort of the biggest worry for us, because I'm sure you saw the highlights of the third round game played against Stoke, and he was sort of unstoppable, which is fantastic. Our backup goalkeeper's either going to be Andy Lonergan, who is formerly of Fulham and Preston, who hasn't really set the world alight when he's coming this season, or it's going to be a youngster called Harry Bagone, who starred in our 4-4 draw with Fulham, who is very, very fresh. So, yeah, the goalkeeper situation is not particularly great for us on Saturday.
It's. I mean, in general, I mean, sometimes sides. I remember Bogdan before Liverpool signed him, rotated him for Bolton and did well in a cup game. I mean, it can be the sort of occasion which can help a player coming in, because you're on a little bit of a hide into nothing. There is the idea, well, you know, the expectation is we may well concede anyway at some point, and I think that can liberate a goalkeeper sometimes. So there's worse games, and I think he's just had his bank cut, hasn't he? Just to 2 matches, so he'll be back for your league campaign relatively soon.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, against a bigger and better side, we're going to kind of be peppered by shots. And as a goalkeeper, that's your bread and butter. To be fair to Bagone, we've got a very good track history at Wolves of producing decent goalkeepers and developing them sort of throughout the last sort of 15 years or so. It's just whether he's sort of at a point where he can make that step up, and it'll be fantastic if he has sort of, you know, an FA Cup fairy tale on Saturday.
And looking, you know, further ahead, looking right the way up and down the pitch, you've recently signed from Derby a player a few Liverpool supporters will have seen in the flesh in the past, Vyman. Got him on loan until the end of the season. It's an interesting move, that one, really, Derby being ahead of you in the league, and Vyman not really getting his playing time. But he's a player with strong pedigree and serious pace.
Yeah, you know, he's got that sort of Premier League experience with Villa. He's not really been getting into the team at Derby. He's a player who can sort of play in you know, he's one of those almost, I guess, almost like a bit like Lallana or Firmino at Liverpool, where you can play him in sort of any of those kind of front four positions on a pitch, and he'll do your job. Where he'll kind of fit into Wolves, I don't think anyone's sort of too sure at the moment. With his pace, you sort of hope he's going to almost play as a number nine on the last man of the attack. It's whether we go for sort of pace or a bit more strength up front.
Well, I mean, that's what's intriguing me. I mean, I'll be really honest and say I haven't seen you play all season. I haven't actually. I don't think I've seen a single Wolves game. But one of the things that prepping for this, one of the things I noticed is that it's players who are marked down, at least marked down, and you may tell me that they've not been playing like this, but marked down as midfielders, who are the ones who have been sticking the ball in the back of the net. Both Edwards and Costa have got, you know, have got seven apiece for Wolves in the league, and you know that it's intriguing to me that, you know, that they're, as I say, they're both sort of, at least on paper, midfielders, not forwards. Is that because you tend to have sort of a bit of a muscular presence up front and encourage the midfielders to join in?
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong in the slightest. I think we went from the end of August up until sort of a week before last, before we had a strike score. So it's something that's probably the biggest hindrance at Wolves, that our strikers aren't scoring. Whether that's in Bodvarsson, who's a bit stronger, or Dicko, who's sort of a bit more pace. The goals of either, as you say, they've been coming from Costa out wide, who plays, you say, right midfield, right winger sort of position, or Edwards, who is very much an attacking midfielder who's getting on the end of crosses.
They're two really solid returns for players playing in that position. To actually have seven at this stage of the season suggests they could both be breaking double figures. And, you know, I think that it's a bit of a football cliche, but we'd all take, I think everyone at any level of the game is taking, is wants double figures from the midfielders. So it's, you know, it's an impressive return from those two, if not from the centre forwards. What are they good at?
I mean, Costa's, he's not a championship level player. He deserves and needs to be playing in a higher division. It's a bit almost ridiculous that he's having to ply his trade in the second tier at this point. Because every time he sort of gets on the ball and he gets an eye goal, it seems like it's going to end up in the back of the net.
Right.
He's very one. It feels like he's almost very one-footed. But as soon as that happens, he's had goals this season when people have shown him onto his left and he's just put it back onto his right and knocked it in the back of the net. Edwards is... He's our James Milner. He's the most dependable player on a football pitch. He's not necessarily the most glamorous player on a football field, but he'll work his socks off for the team. And he's just got one of those knacks of getting into positions at the right time. And as I say, he lacks the technical skills of some of our other players, but if he can get into a position on a match day and, you know, he can get a goal, then more forward today. We've got two players who aren't playing as far forward as others on the pitch, and they're nearing on, you know, it by averages, they should be sort of getting sort of 14, 15 goals by the end of the season, which it's just a shame we can't have sort of one more player who's sort of up there in terms of goals.
Yeah, I mean, a centre forward. If you've got two goal scoring midfielders like that, and you add a centre forward who's scoring at just a slightly quicker rate, then right now you've got, you know, you're sitting there with sort of 45 to 50 goals, and that's pretty high in comparison to the rest of the division. And you probably find yourself sort of 7, 8, 9, 10 places higher.
Yeah, I mean, it's the difference between drawing games and winning games.
It's Chris Wood. I mean, you know, we talked in a previous thing about how good a job Gary Monk's done at Leeds, but one of the ways in which he's done a great job is he's got everything that everyone always thought was in Chris Wood out of Chris Wood. And you know, I think they're looking for that sort of thing. Since Lambert's been in, is the style of play what you're used to seeing from a Lambert side? You said before that they looked a bit more organised. You know, I've seen Aston Villa and Norwich sides come to Anfield under Paul Lambert, and you know, it's quite regimented. It's all a bit 4-2-3-1. Is that how he's got you lined up?
Yeah, I mean, we are lined up 4-2-3-1, and it's what we essentially played under Jacket for the last three seasons, and it works under Jacket for a large degree, and it suits a lot of our players within the club. We looked incredibly shaky defensively, and we looked disorganised as a back four and a defence, and as an overall defensive unit. And we now look like we're a bit more set, and we look like we're settled in terms of working as a team defensively now, and that credit's got to go to Lambert because it has changed since he's got here.
Okay, so let me put you on the spot. I mean, well, there's one more question really, and on Lambert in terms of that is, do you think he's likely to, is the Wolves' outlook towards the FA Cup? I know a few Championship sides are playing slightly weaker teams for the FA Cup, or do you think that at this stage it's Anfield, Liverpool are having a bit of a wobble? Lambert himself is a manager who wants to obviously manage in the big time insofar as he can. Are you expecting Wolves just to put the strongest possible 11 out and not mess about?
It's a tough one. I mean, we didn't play our full-strength team again.
Yeah.
So, which, in hindsight, is even more impressive. I can't put that down to, it was just off the back of the Christmas period. We played 4 days previously. We played a lot of games over Christmas. And we didn't have a lot of rotation then. Now, we had a week between our last game. We've had a full rest. Liverpool will almost certainly put out at least the second string team, if not the under 23 squad. I can see him sort of, you know, I don't see us putting out a weakened team. I think there'll be a little bit of rotation, chiefly because we lost the weekend. And there might be a few players who kind of come out off the back of that. But I think we'll try and go for it.
Okay, do you want to give me a prediction?
I'm going to go 1-1. I know Liverpool have got a pretty up until yesterday, of course, they've got a pretty handy home record over the past year. So I struggle to see us actually winning the game outright. But I think we've kind of got something about us at the moment that might see us through to sort of having a replay.
Okay, from the Wolves fancast, that's Richard Hobbs. Let's find out what everyone else thinks. That was the Bare Naked Ladies 1 week. Gareth Roberts, what's your position on Gina Miller? That's a joke. Liverpool are coming up against Wolves this weekend.
Neil, did you know Paul Lambert's got a great record?
I was about to say, Paul Lambert has a great record, Gareth Roberts, against Liverpool. He does actually have a really good record. Manager talked him up today. Obviously, they spent some time together at Borussia Dortmund. He's a bit of a Borussia Dortmund legend, if we're all honest, Lambo. And he's finding himself coming to Anfield this weekend, and he'll be saying to his side, listen, you've got a chance of getting something out of this, lads. Don't be afraid of anything.
Absolutely. They knocked Stoke out last round. They performed pretty well on the day there, scored two decent goals. It won't be easy. It won't be. I mean, and Stoke had a decent side, though, by the way.
Oh, strong team.
Yeah, you know, so I expect it to be really difficult for Liverpool. And if Liverpool, you know, if Liverpool give them an inch, they'll win. Let's be honest. You know, and I think that's the mindset that they need to go into it and play that way. I mean, Andy mentioned this before about us always making the same points, but it does feel like we've been watching the same football match over and over again lately. And to me, we've made too many steady-ish starts. We've wanted to find a rhythm. Do you know what I mean? We're knocking it round in front of them, and I don't think that's what's needed. I feel with this side,
but it's the only way we played all season. Yeah. I mean, it's not the only real exception, I'd say, where you've gone, you know what, they've gone at them there. They've been so intense there early, was Chelsea away. I think, you know, apart from that, it's difficult for me to point one out and go, that's where they've gone right, bang, into these.
Yeah, but I just think they're quite fragile at the moment. And I think when the more and more time that you get on the clock, the more and more nervous they're getting, the more and more they're not playing the way they want to play. So what I'm saying is, if you get one or two up, we can all relax a little bit, you know what I mean? If we don't, then the time when everyone starts panicking is going to get less and less. I thought the crowd was good, by the way, against Southampton. It's not being mentioned much, but it was poor against Swansea. I thought it was a lot better against Southampton, and it was quite patient. I remember looking at the clock and thinking, we're 35 in here.
You and I have managed to have completely different experience, like complete opposites. I thought it was dead anxious, and I thought the crowd... This is a separate conversation. It's good in the cop. I'm halfway down. I'm on the halfway line. Lower Centenary. Firstly, it's not good around me, and secondly, it's good on the cop. It's not transmitting, Joel.
Same with me, yeah. I was in the Lower Centenary towards the cop on Wednesday night, so I'm in between you. But yeah, I thought up until half-time it was fine, but second half, it got really, really... having kittens, yeah. Everyone was having kittens around me, and like even myself, but like I wasn't one that was shouting for the record. But and tomorrow, that's what we need. We need the patience. We need not to get anxious, and that's where I think if any game over the past month has needed an early goal, it's tomorrow's. Because if we get to half time 0-0, or God forbid we're 1-0 down, then you know it's going to be chaos again.
Got a breaking news for you, Neil.
Go on.
Breaking Liverpool Football Club news.
Go on.
Cameron Brannigan's joined Fleetwood Town on loan until the end of the season.
I hope he has a good time. Go on,
all the best to him.
Okay.
Andy, the Brannigan news.
Okay, the Brannigan news.
No, no, go on. Go back to the Wolves game.
Brexit.
Back to the Wolves game.
Yeah. Okay, so do you think we struggle as much as we have done if we have a big game in amongst these games that we presume that we win? Because I think that's been a problem with the crowd as much as it has been with the team. In so much as, especially against Swansea, you turn up, you're expecting to win with the greatest will in the world. And I know we all say, oh, well, it's not like that, and you've got to get up for it. Garrett's spoken excellently about it. You've spoken excellently about it, about sitting in the crowd trying to get something going. And it's just not
sticking. Like, you're a bit weird.
Yeah, yeah. And the timing of the kickoffs as well, the two of them have been early, which is always a weird one.
And this one's early.
This one's early again. And it's just this expectation that Liverpool have got to turn up and win. And then you get into kind of this rut, both on the pitch and in the stands. And I just think if we would have had a big game last night with Chelsea Tuesday.
If United away, it'd be United home.
If it's Chelsea tomorrow at 12:30, the atmosphere's a lot better.
I thought it was interesting this week. We did a podcast on Tour Player, which you should all subscribe to, obviously.
We've had a great week on it, haven't we?
We have, yeah.
It's been a fabulous week, yeah.
We did a show with Stephen Warnock, who obviously is still a professional footballer. And we spoke to him about early kickoffs. And it's interesting about, you know, we talk as fans about how it disrupts your match day pattern and when you can go for a pint and when you can meet your mates and all that sort of thing. And maybe you're a little bit tired from your Friday night and all that kind of thing. And Stephen said, you know, well, think about for the players as well. It disrupts our lives. He said, you know, players have children. They might not get a decent kip. He said, he personally said he always goes into a hotel, leaves his wife and his kids, goes into a hotel, makes sure he gets the kip. He said, but it's things like, you know, when are you having your pre-match meal then?
Yeah.
You know, when are you taking water on board? All your preparations are ruined to an extent by it being that early kickoff. So that... The general view about early kickoffs, about that the atmosphere is a little bit poor, about that you don't always see the intensity on the pitch. I think there's a lot of truth in all that.
And also, just reference something that was said this week and what you mentioned earlier about slow start, Liverpool slow starting. We had two very interesting conversations with Paco Esteran this week. And across both the shows, it was mentioned about how Liverpool started early in certain big games and whether it was just, you know, they just had to start early or what it took to do that. And what did he say? He said they worked on it. We planned for it.
Yep, they worked on it. And that's my thing, Joel. That's why I don't think you are going to... I don't think Liverpool are planning for... Because I think if Liverpool were planning to do big starts, then we're now 20...
They worked on it.
Yeah. And we're now 23, 24, 20, 22 league games into the season. We're 27 in all comps. I think if Liverpool were working on starting fast, we'd have seen it by now. If not, the manager, who looks very, very good at training footballers, isn't doing that bit very well. So I don't think we will necessarily see a big start. But I think that maybe even if the players themselves went, you know what, lads, if certain personalities are playing, if the captain's playing... Saying, right, come on, lads, first 10.
I think that maybe perhaps that might be required in certain games, you know, in the coming weeks. Chelsea would be the perfect one on Tuesday night, and then arguably Tottenham in a fortnight's time, because these are the type of games that are going to potentially determine where we're going to finish in the table and whether we're going to still be in the title picture or whether we're just focusing on getting top four. So I think tomorrow. It's like we've all said, it totally depends on who's starting. Like, if you've got the likes of Sturridge in the league, you know, maybe you've got a chance, but it all depends on that first 20 and whether we can get a goal within that time frame.
Okay, pick me a team, Andy.
Okay, see, this is what I want to mention. I would go strong, even though we've got a game on Tuesday, because they need to build momentum. If he plays the kids and the kids win, I don't need to see any players carrying that in. So I'd go with a strong lineup, start with Karius in goal. I'd maybe go with Moreno. Because Milner's looked tired over the last couple of games. Matip Lovren, just to keep some time in the legs. Trent at right back, or Klein. If Klein's 100%, go with Klein, because I had a couple of weeks off, so we should have the two games in. The midfield, I'd go with the regular, but with Wijnaldum instead of Chan. And I would maybe...
Lallana might be out.
Fair enough.
By the sounds of it, Lallana's out tomorrow.
Well then, I'd play Lucas, Wijnaldum, Henderson, midfield, and then the front three... If Lallana's out, then it's Coutinho, Firmino, Sturridge to start, and then maybe Origi off the bench.
That strong? Would you go that strong, Gareth, with one eye on Chelsea?
I'd be putting Gomez in there, I think, at the back. But I probably would go strong. I'd look to flip it on its head and try and get it done, and then sub off. Do it that way around, yeah, in terms of minutes and everything else. I mean, another thing, just to build on what Joel said quickly, is that I don't think you see that much of a change either in what Liverpool do, because he's only had one training session with them. We played on Wednesday. I guess they would have had the next day off as recovery, and then train today, and then the game's 12:30 tomorrow. So, you know, there's not loads you can sit down and change massively in that time. So big onus on the players to work it out for themselves to an extent.
I'd personally go with Stewart ahead of Henderson, because if Henderson's heel still bothering him, I'd perhaps throw Stewart.
Yeah,
and it's a perfect chance for Stewart again to take an opportunity. But just one word on Alexander-Arnold. I thought a lot, his performance the other night has gone unnoticed quite a lot. I thought he was superb again.
Didn't go unnoticed in my ratings.
I didn't read them.
Hey, Joel, don't worry, neither does anyone else.
Hey, they do not hate numbers. They do the numbers.
Yeah, Andy's ratings actually get more reads than my reviews, so don't worry about that. But yeah, I think he did do all right. But he got caught out a couple of times first half, and I think that's the sort of thing you remember when you look back on a game. But then that's the instruction that Liverpool were pushing high and all that sort of stuff. That's why he gets caught wrong
side. I thought he targeted them as well.
Yeah, oh, very much. Raymond went that side quite deliberately during the game as it wore on.
Would you go strong as a momentum builder, Neil?
Not particularly, no. So for instance, I'd be playing Moreno, I'd be playing Alexander-Arnold, I'd play Gomez, I'd play Carrier, so there's four of me back five on first choice. I'd play Stewart or Lucas at the base of the midfield. I wouldn't risk Henderson. I'd go with one of Chanel Van Alden, and I'd actually give Woodburn a look next to them, because they've been doing that and playing Woodburn a little deeper. But where I would go strong, and this is part of the early start thing, is I'd play Sturridge, I'd play Origi, and I'd play one other, and that's probably Shea Ojo. That's what I'd do. Prediction very, very fast, about to run out of time. It's coming to 7:30, Joel.
A very nervy 2-1.
Very nervy 2-1. I'd take it. Gareth Roberts.
1-0.
1-0 to Liverpool. Yeah. I'd take that. Andy Heaton.
4-0.
4-0 to Liverpool. Okay, Andy Heaton. I wouldn't have that one, mate. This has been the Anfield Wrap this week. It's on Radio City Talk. Hope you have a lovely time. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Up the Reds. Let's get this one done, and then everything in the whole world is about Tuesday. Sports Social Podcast Network.